We open our Bibles once again this morning in the book of Genesis and the chapter 49. That's the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible word together. That's in Genesis chapter 49. And we read there from verse number 16. That is Genesis chapter 49 and commencing to read at the verse number 16. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hit at him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From hence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, and blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast, and blessings of the womb, blessings of thy father have prevailed against the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Amen. And we know that God will once again add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Just let's seek God's face reverently in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us around his word. We thank thee, O God, for the privilege we had in Bible class of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the seven candlesticks. And we thank thee today that we know that Christ is here, and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. I pray that by thy Holy Spirit, O God, that thou will come and that thou will visit us afresh. We thank thee for the privilege of opening the Scriptures again. And I pray that as we meditate upon these things, that thou wilt, Lord, have a word for our hearts, every one, individually, personally, that not one will leave thy house today but know that God has spoken to them. I pray that you'll speak to the preacher and the hearers alike, and that, Father, that thou wilt lead us into the green pastures, and, O God, even beside the still waters. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to thee. Bless those who are listening in the world wide web. We pray that thou wilt even, Lord, make this the word of God a blessing to their hearts, and, O God, strengthen them in the hour of need. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. And glory. Amen. We have already been looking at the blessings of Jacob, the old man, as he comes to die. We have already seen him speaking to seven of his sons. He has spoken from his eldest, Reuben, and then to Simeon, to Levi, to Judah, to Zebulun, to Issachar, and then finally, last Lord's Day, Dan. I want us to look at the next three of these from verses 19 to verse 21, just three verses. And those speak to us concerning three brothers, Gad, and then Asher, and Naphtali. And as we silently gather around the bed and listen to the words of the benedictions of Jacob, we see him now turn his eyes and his gaze upon his sons of Zilpah, Leah's maid, before he returns to the final son of Bilhah, which was Rachel's mate. I want you to picture once again this scene. And we do see them here because this is given in an orderly fashion. Because first of all, not in age, but in orderly fashion, we have the six sons of Leah standing together. And then we have the four sons of the handmaids of Rachel and Leah. And then finally, we come to the two sons of Jacob's beloved Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. What a family, divided, yes, in many ways, divided at least in three groupings. And so we come to this second grouping. We have finished the six sons of Leah. And then we came for last Lord's Day to Dan, who was the son of Bilhah, or Rachel's maid. And then he speaks to the two sons of Zilpah, which is Leah's maid. And then he turns back to the final son of Bilhah. And we'll come to those in the will of God this morning. Now it says there in verse number 19, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Now, Gad was the first son of Leah's maid, Zilpah. And what do we know about Gad? Well, once again, the language of the benediction to Gad is somewhat of a play on the name that he was given at his birth, the name Gad. And the name Gad has a twofold meaning. And it has a wide range, a dual meaning. One meaning of the name means good fortune. And the other name, or the other meaning of the name Gad, is a troop cometh. Now, in the context of his birth, the first meaning as regards what Leah was thinking at that moment in calling him Gad would have been very relevant, good fortune. And I'll tell you why. Whenever you look at the family here, Leah's had six sons. And then she stops childbearing. She feels that she is not going to give to Jacob another son, another child. And what happens at the end, remember, Rachel has borne no children. And at the end of these six sons being born to Leah, then Rachel steps in, and because she is angry or bitter within her own soul because she has not borne any children and she wants to give Jacob children, she gives her Bilhah, her maid, unto Jacob. And Bilhah bears unto Jacob two sons. One was Dan and the other is Naphtali. Well, whenever Leah sees this, she's anxious. Because she believes now she can no longer give any more children. Turn back to Genesis chapter 30. And just for a moment, just let's look at this. In chapter 30, Genesis, verse number 9. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And it is in those names that we want to think about, because the secret in the Old Testament is in many of the names that were given. First of all, we have Gad. And when she called him Gad, you see, she concluded that she could no longer give unto Jacob any more children, and therefore she couldn't compete with the love that Jacob had for Rachel. And when she saw that, she gave her maid Zilpah unto Jacob, and Gad was born. And whenever she saw him, she thought that was a sign of good fortune. But the second meaning of Gad is a troop cometh. And I believe that better fits not only his birth, but it better fits the benediction in chapter 49, because let's read it again. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, and he shall overcome at the last. You see, good fortune implies an abundance of blessing, or a troop of blessing. But a troop cometh implies a group of soldiers coming. And you'll notice in verse 19, whenever Jacob was looking at Gad, he saw two things. He saw Gad as vanquished, because it says there, a troop shall overcome him. But then he saw him as victorious, because it says, he shall overcome at the last. Now, what did this mean? I want you to think about the Jordan. I want you to think of the river there running down in Israel. And I want you to think of the east side of Jordan, because that's where God chose his inheritance, on the eastern side of Jordan, with Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh. But the 9.5 tribes of Israel, they went into the land of promise and they took the land of Canaan. And therefore, because that God was on the eastern side, he was vulnerable to attack. A troop cometh. It says a troop shall overcome him. And therefore, that speaks that he was vulnerable to attack. And Jacob's prophecy rightly pointed to God being attacked by the enemies. He was cut off from the majority of his brethren there on the eastern side of the river. And so we find, because of that, in ways he was isolated. And because he was isolated, he was frequently beset by troubles and attack, troop, an abundance of trouble. And that's what he saw there. He says, God, a troop shall overcome him, because he would be under attack. There would be a troop, an abundance of trouble. And that was so because he was attacked by the Moabites. He was attacked by the Midianites. And he was attacked also by the Arabians. He was under attack. Trouble. And I'm sure that many of God's people at times, they feel they're just like God. Because their lives are under attack. They feel frequently under attack. The Bible says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. And friend, for you and I, quite often, there's three things about trouble. We're either coming out of trouble, we're either going into trouble, or we're passing through trouble. Because the Bible says, man that is a few days and his life is full of trouble. And therefore we ought not to be surprised by that. But you see, some of the trouble that God was in was of his own making. Because he isolated himself there on the eastern side. He wasn't with the majority of his brethren. He had taken himself to the eastern side of the river, and therefore, because of his own choosing, he had made trouble for himself. Now, why did he choose that land? Why did he not go in with the rest of them, as God had directed them? Why did he choose to stay on the eastern side of the river? Well, the answer's in the scriptures, friend. Turn to the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, in the chapter 32, tells us this. Let me just read what the Word of God says. For those that stayed on the eastern side. Why did they stay there? Why did they choose there? Why did they not go with the rest of them? Well, it says in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jezer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, and they said, let us settle here. And why did they settle there? Because they had a great multitude of cattle. And you see, it was a place that was good for cattle. It didn't matter it was good for children. It was good for cattle, and that was more important. Do you remember another person in the Scriptures that saw likewise? And he got himself into trouble because he looked upon the pasture and it was green and it was lush and everything was perfect. And he said, this is a place for me, because he too had cattle. And he forgot about the children. And my friend, let me tell you this, he destroyed his children because of it. And he wrecked his family. That was Lot. And Lot saw the pasture. He saw the greenness of the grass. And he thought this was good for his cattle. And he settled himself down there. And so we find that just as Lot got himself into a disastrous situation and lost his wife and lost his testimony, and God had to drag them out of the city, Sodom, we find indeed that God had brought trouble on his own head as well because of his choice. Because it was because of the pasture. It was because of the grass. It was because of the richness of the fertile soil. It was good for cattle. Never make your judgment that way, friend, concerning where you ought to be. You ask the Lord and seek the will of God and seek the mind of God, what he wants, and that's the place for you to be. In the very center of the will of God. But that's what made God choose the ground. It was a place that was good for his cattle. And because of that, he isolated himself across the river. He isolated himself on the east of the river instead of being with the rest of his brethren. And you'll find that when you read in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, you'll find that Gad was one of the first of the tribes to be carried into captivity. And what he thought was good, friend, he lost it. And he was brought into captivity. One of the first tribes to be brought into captivity. And he lost what he had. And that's why whenever the old man is looking into the eyes of Gad, he says this, a troop shall overcome thee. Friend, let me ask you this. Perhaps there's someone here in God's house, and maybe troubles are in your life today. Are you letting life's troubles overcome you? Are they taking over your life? Because let me tell you, whenever those take over your life and whenever you're overcome by troubles, then you lose the joy and the zeal and the zip of life. The happiness of life goes out because of troubles. You may say to me this morning, preacher, if you could look into my eyes as Jacob looked into his son's eyes, then you'll know why. Because of trouble. But let me tell you, the troubles that God were in was a part of his making. And sometimes, friends, we get ourselves into trouble, and the trouble we're in is our own making. But let me tell you, those troubles can break us. A troop shall overcome them. Are you being overcome this morning? Can you honestly say before God, if you look into my heart as God looks into my heart, preacher, the troop has come and overcome me. I'm overcome my troubles. But thank God he saw something else when he looked into God's eyes. He said this, but he shall overcome at the last. You see, not only saw a son that would be vanquished, but he saw a son that was victorious. He shall overcome. And thank God that's the encouraging part. We sang this morning, a life of overcoming. And wouldst thou know the victory of constant, the secret of constant victory, let in the overcomer, and he will conquer thee. Turn to the book of Jeremiah just for a moment. Chapter 49. Jeremiah chapter 49, let's read verses 1 and 2. Remember, I said to you that God was always under attack. So many enemies after him. Look at Jeremiah chapter 49. Concerning the Ammonites, thus saith the Lord, hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, and his people dwell in his cities? Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap, and her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. Thank God, victory was going to come. And so whenever this father looked into the eyes of his son, whilst it ought to trouble him that his son would have a troop that would overcome him, yet praise God, in the midst of that discouragement, there comes a tremendous thought here. He shall overcome at the last. And God persevered to victory. He didn't quit. And though he was beset by troubles, he fought on until he prevailed. And maybe perhaps the strength has gone out of you, brother or sister in Jesus Christ, because of life's troubles that are pressing upon you. But I say to you in God's name, don't quit. It is said that at the time of the war that Churchill was invited to speak to a great audience of university students. And as he looked into the face of his students, and they were waiting with bated breath to hear the words of the great Churchill, it is said that he said to the students, his speech was 8 words in length. And he sat down. He says, never give up. Never, never, never give up. And he sat down. Do you feel, a friend, that it's not worth going on this morning? Are you pressed down with trials and troubles, perhaps even of your own making? And you say, but preacher, there's no way through this mess. There's no way through this situation. I want to tell you, my friend, there is a way through. And I say to you in God's name, don't let the devil overcome you, but you can be more than conquerors through him that loved you. God does not want his children to lie down in defeat, but praise God, he shall overcome at the last. There's victory in Jesus. We read this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said this in verse 8. He says, we're troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. And we are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Is there someone in this gathering this morning and you're in despair? And my life has been putting you down, friend, and you feel that there's no way out of it. My, that's what the devil says to so many people. That's why we find that people come to a place where they have committed suicide. That the devil says there's no way out. The devil's a liar. He's a liar. You will be conquered by your troubles if you give up. You will be overcome if you give in. My earnest prayer is this morning that indeed the words concerning God will be the last words concerning my life. He shall overcome at the last. To end the journey well,
To see like Paul, I have fought a good fight. He said, I have finished the course. He says, I have kept the faith. There's no doubt, even the mighty Elijah sat down under the tree and he said for God to take him. He felt that life was so pressed and upon him. My, the wicked Jezebel was after him and trying to take away his life. And he sat down under the juniper tree and he says, God, let me die. Let me tell you, my friend, the Lord touched him and he says, rise and eat. And God gave him sustenance. He gave him sustenance for the journey and his weakness to strengthen him. I tell you, the Bible tells us that sin shall not have dominion over us, friend. We are to conquer. We are to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God wants you to be an overcomer. And then having looked into the... I just say this before I finish with God, friend. You study the tribe of God, and you know who you find? You find Jephthah of the tribe of God. And if you know the story, friend, and if you don't, I'll tell you, I'm not going to tell you it, because go and study it for yourself. Jephthah was a man who made a vow to God. And that vow, my friend, would have broken anybody's heart. For he didn't realize what that vow would take in. But he went through with God. In actual fact, his daughter, instead of standing in the way of his father, her father fulfilling the vow, his daughter said, Dad, so let it be. Let's go through with God. And friend, let me tell you, sometimes to walk with God, there can be trials and troubles by the way, but I say to you in God's name, go through with God, no matter what it costs. For you'll never prove the delights of God's love until all on the altar you lay. Another son of God, or a child of the family of the tribe of God, was the old faithful Barzillai, the faithful old man. And then you know the other one, Elijah. He was of the tribe of God. Men that went through trials, men that went through heartache, and my, the troops, they came upon them, but praise God, they conquered at the last. Because they were overcomers. And then we move, look to verse 20 quickly. It says, out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. And after leaving, conquering Gad, friend, we come to blissful Asher. Asher was the other son of the bonds woman. He was the second son of Zilpah. And whenever she looked into the face of this second son of Zilpah, what did Leah say? Let's go back to chapter 30 now again. Genesis 30. Genesis 30. And the verse number 13. And Leah said, this is the second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. She was very happy. She was happy because she believed that when others would look upon her,
They would call her blessed. In other words, she would be highly esteemed. Now, let me tell you, Leah was blessed. Even without the son, she was blessed. She had 6 sons of her own. And sometimes, you know, we don't count our blessings. She was a woman that was blessed, but she was still not satisfied. And sometimes there are people, and they're like that, friend, no matter how much God blesses them, they're never satisfied with what God gives to them or how God blesses them. But somehow, they always look and see somebody else's field more greener than what theirs is. And Leah looked at this son, the second son of Zilpah, and she said, I'm blessed, I'm happy. I'm happy because others will call me blessed. You remember another woman in the scriptures that was blessed of God, friend? She was a woman called Naomi. But she was a woman who went through trials and troubles too. And her name meant, the meaning of Naomi's name was pleasant. And whenever she came back to the city, and when she returned after the famine, and the people said, here cometh Naomi. And she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Don't call me pleasant, call me Mara, which means bitter. Just because God has dealt very bitterly with me. And friends, to be quite honest, here was a pleasant woman who turned very bitter. And yet she was blessed. And she didn't realize how God was working all things together for good for her. And she was angry when they called her by her name. But then there was another woman. You see, she said, I want people to call me blessed. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, if you go down to verse number 47, or verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the lowly state of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Why? For God that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. She didn't want the people to call her blessed, but she said, they will call her blessed because God that is mighty hath done great things for me, and holy is his name. And friend, today you and I can look over our lives and we can say like the 68th Psalm in verse 19 that he loadeth us with mercies and blessings. He loadeth us. You're loaded with blessings. You have had the blessing that you're able to come to God's house this morning. You have had the blessing that you're able to sit down at the table. You'll have the blessing if God spares you to get home and sit down and have a meal. And there's people dying of hunger. And you leave food on the plate. Or throw it out. You have been loaded. Blessings. It says, Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. You see, Asher was blessed in the fruitfulness of his land. His inheritance was the amazing fertile area that ran from the foot of Mount Carmel up the Mediterranean coast to past Tyre. And because of that, he had the opportunity, an advantage to be able to provide for others. But to the credit of Asher, listen to me carefully. He had advantages and he had opportunity, but Asher, thank God, didn't squander the opportunity. He didn't squander the blessing. He was a good steward. And sometimes before God, friend, not everyone has the opportunities of Asher. But not everyone uses the opportunities we have, like Asher, to be a blessing. Every one of us this morning have opportunities. And God requires, no matter what he has given you, God requires of you to be a faithful steward. God wants you to be a good and a faithful servant. And the sad reality is this: there are those who waste their opportunities and the advantages that they have. You and I should seek to use the opportunities God has given us to be a blessing. You and I should seize the opportunities. And that's what Asher did. He shall yield royal dainties. We haven't time to go into this, but can I say this to you? In the days of Elijah, when there was a famine, God sent the prophet to a widow of Zarephath. And Zarephath was in Zidon. And Zidon was in Asher's territory. And thank God that wee widow woman met God's servant's need. She offered up royal dainties. My God supplies all my need. You'll find that another woman of Asher. Turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 2 as we come to a close this morning. Turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 2. And you'll find if you go down there to verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was a great age. And she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instance, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Israel. Here was a daughter of Asher. And praise God, she yielded up royal dainties to Israel's greatest king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I finish this morning, we'll come to Naphtali again. Are you bitter with life? Or do you see the blessings? Do you understand how richly blessed you are this morning? That you could come to the house of God to worship him and to fall at his feet. And Leah said, I'm so happy
Are you happy in the Lord? If you're not saved this morning, let me tell you, no matter what happiness you have in this world, your happiness will end. Because those that die and go to hell will never laugh again. But they cried, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. May God save you. May you know the happiness of sins forgiven, the joy of His salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank Thee for Thy word this morning, and I pray that Thou would write it upon my heart and the hearts of Thy people. Oh God, help us to be overcomers. Help us, our God, to rejoice in the abundance of the blessings that we have, the benefits we have. Forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. O God, accept our thanks. But for any who are not saved, O my God, I pray in Jesus' name, turn them from their sin. Bring them to the Christ of Calvary. Give them peace within.